When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You can't win anything with kids.
I would love it if we beat them. Love it.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
Oh, that's a space though! And a goal! Oh, fantastic stuff!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Five Show. Today, we are doing another one of my personal favourites. This time, it's our best World 11 from the 90s. This week, we won't be dipping any toes into the noughties. This is strictly 1990 to 1999. I hope the lads have picked some world-class talent, because this week, there's a twist. We will all be selecting our 11 players as usual, but when we do the vote, we cannot choose our own choice. So I'll introduce the lads who's here, and we get cracking. So as you can tell, I'm David Graham. I'm hosting for a change. It's the Phoenix Three today, so we've got Paul McGraw, our usual host. How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Dave.
And we've got the famous Lee Harper. He's turned up. How you doing, Lee?
Yeah, hello, mate. All good.
Great. So we'll jump straight into it then. So I'll start with Paul. So, Paul, who's your world-class goalkeeper from the 90s you picked for your team, mate?
Schmeichel.
No shocks there then. So Paul's picked Peter Schmeichel. Lee, who have you gone for?
Well, I've gone for Dave Seaman.
David Seaman. Okay. And I've gone for, what I've done is I haven't gone for the Champions League team we've done. I've tried to steer away from that and gone for a different level. I've gone for Claudio Taffarel that was at Parma and Galatasaray. But we'll jump back to Paul. And Paul, sell us Schmeichel, mate.
It's a hard case to not pick Schmeichel, I think. Won Euro 92 with Denmark, was the best goalkeeper in the world with United. Influence of a game. A style of goalkeeping with the way he would come out of off his line so fast, the way he'd make himself big at one-on-ones, the distribution to players, the influence he had on his back four. I don't think there's been a better goalkeeper over a 4 or 5 year period of our most successful period, say 96 to 99. I don't think there was a better goalkeeper in the world for those 4 years particularly. Mm. But then even you look at his career post Man United, he still went on to a decent career when he left us. And his son's now obviously carried on that legacy. But for me, I think Seaman, as Harper's picked, very good goalkeeper, definitely one of England's best. But I think he was just behind Schmeichel for actual being one of the world's best for me.
Hmm. Good argument, Lee. What have you got in response to Paul Schmeichel claim?
Well, I think Dave Seaman, better shot stopper than Schmeichel, by a good country mile.
I don't know. What about Naeem? Remember that one?
Yeah, well, that's just a lucky goal. All right, don't get me wrong. Schmeichel, when he was a good keeper, there's no debate. I'm not denying that. But he made himself big, yeah? Like, they would hit his arm, his knee, his leg, like... Technically, for me, he wasn't a great shot stopper. That's basically that. And I'm not saying Seaman could, but I don't think Schmeichel would probably be any good in this day and age. I know we're not talking about this day and age, but I don't think he, like, technically a good footballer. So,
and you think Seaman? Do you think Seaman?
No, I don't think Seaman is. I don't think Seaman would be either. No. So, but yeah, I'm still think Dave Seaman's better than Schmeichel at saving, shot stopping.
I've noticed that you've both gone for goalkeepers of the Premier League. Paul, is there any reason why you've just stuck to the Premier League? Is there any particular reason for that? You haven't looked at other keepers from around the world? Or is it Schmeichel the first one that's come to your head?
I think there could have been an argument, as you said, and one for Oliver Kahn. There could have been an argument for Peruzzi, as we did in the Champions. There's lots of goalkeepers, but I can't pick a player for the Champions League 11 and not put him in the World 11 because it doesn't make sense to me. He was the best goalkeeper for me on that period, and he's the best goalkeeper in the world for this period. So there's no argument for me to change. It wouldn't make sense to put another player in for me.
Okay, well,
I never really saw much of Taffarel, only in World Cups. So
yeah,
I can't.
I was just about to get onto that, and you've took words out of my mouth. That's the only time I did see him. I'm not going to lie. I knew he was at Parma and Galatasaray. I didn't see him play. Well, I definitely didn't see him play for Galatasaray. I've got an early memory of him playing for Parma, obviously leading up to the 94 World Cup. But what I do remember in the World Cups, obviously he was a World Cup winner. His reflexes, his composure on the ball, and how quick he was off the line. I just remember him being very good. I think when we stick with the 90s, when you talk about world-class goalkeepers going away from the Premier League, I think Taffarel's name does come up quite often. I think maybe, you know, Lee might agree. You've got the likes of Campos at Mexico. Obviously, Shilova was a bit later, but I think Shilova and the Colombian goalkeeper, I think there are more sort of like controversial characters more or less than world-class goalkeepers. But like I said, I tried to stay away from my Champions League pick, which is Oliver Kahn. Taffarel, when you talk about world-class goalkeepers, I think he does come into the bracket. Don't know if he's as good as Schmeichel and Seaman because of lack of times I've seen him, but I would definitely throw him in there. Have any of you guys got anything to say on Taffarel or anybody else before we go to our first vote?
Going back to Taffarel, I just think that Brazil were a very good international team at that time. So I think that he does get mentioned. And like you said, World Cup winner, so rightly so. But I just think Brazil were a good... Like, I don't really remember much of Taffarel in that. Yeah. He wouldn't be the one I'd say in that team.
The only game I remember him playing domestically was the UEFA Cup game, wasn't it, against Arsenal in 99, was it?
Oh, for Galatasaray.
Yeah, when he in the penalty shoot, when he went 1-4-1. But he was second choice at Galatasaray to Sebastian Frey at the time.
Okay, I didn't know that, but I do remember the game.
I'm sure. If I'm wrong, please someone correct me. But I'm sure he was the second choice behind Frey when he went back.
Lovely. Okay, great points there. So this is the first time we're doing this, so this might cock up a little bit if we all got completely different answers, and then we have to go down a different route. So as we can't vote for our own players, Paul, out of minor leagues, who would you go for to be top goalkeeper in our World 11 of the 90s?
I'll go for Taffarel, which sounds contradictory.
But bollocks!
No, because I think I'm going to look at it that in terms of, if you look at world football, I don't think David Seaman comes up in world football as one of the great goalkeepers. I think Taffarel does. So if I can't have Schmeichel, if I can't vote for Schmeichel, then I'll go for someone that I would say he's won a World Cup, won European trophies. So I've got to go based on that. Seaman as a great goalkeeper, I don't think... I'm going to go on honours and say in terms of you think of world-class goalkeepers... outside of the Premier League, you're not saying David Seaman, are you, really? You're going Taffarelli, Kahn, and I think Schmeichel does hit that note. So I'll go Taffarelli.
Lee?
Well, I hate to say it, but I'll say Schmeichel. I still can't believe he's gone for Taffarel there over Seaman. He's won unlimited bloody Premier League titles. He just said, I think I only see him play one game.
Hold on.
You've called him in. I can't write that out.
He's won two Premier League trophies. He hasn't won... he's won two titles. Two Premier League trophies. Seaman.
Yeah, what about FA Cups? You just said you saw Taffarel play one game and you've just named him as in your World 11.
No. I said I've seen from a club level, I can remember one game. For Brazil, I've seen him a couple of times, obviously. And I've gone on based off of when you're saying world-class goalkeepers, you do not mention Seaman.
I think we've started off where we left at the last episode. Fantastic. I love it when it's like this. But I'm not going to be controversial. I did say I wasn't going to go with my Champions League side when we done that, but when I had the final vote, I do remember picking Schmeichel over Seaman. It's very tough, but I'm going to have to edge Schmeichel because I did think he was a better goalkeeper. There's not a lot in it. I agree with Lee, he was a better shot stopper, but I think as an overall commanding presence and a bigger influence over the side, I'll have to edge with Schmeichel. So Schmeichel gets my vote. So, right, we start with the right back. And as I started with Paul the first time, Lee, who's your world-class right back for the 90s, mate?
Well, I've kind of picked my 11 on basically, like, when I was growing up, obviously, like, who I really enjoyed watching. That's how I've kind of gone for my right back is Cafu. He was just an animal. Like, he was more of a winger than a right back, if that makes sense. He was up and down non-stop, fit as a fiddle. And technically, great on the ball.
Yeah, Cafu. I mean, we said it in the Champions League when he came up, but the reason why he didn't come up in the Champions League one is because he didn't play many Champions League games in that period. I went for Gary Neville. But again, when you're saying world-class right-backs, you know, Cafu is definitely up there. You could drop him in a team now. He was 38, I think, when he was still bombing down the wing at AC Milan, you know. Twice won the Serie A title, Cup Winners' Medal, Champions League Winners' Medal. 143 caps for Brazil, two World Cup successes, I think he had, two Copa America successes. I think there's an argument there, he's the best, not just in the world 90s, but the best right back in world football.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep. I've got Cafu as well for the exact same reasons you and Lee said. I've stated it many times before, during the 90s, there's three I'd pick out. It'd be Cafu, Thuram and Gary Neville. It's hard to pick between the three of them. But like you just got, I just think Cafu did everything you could say Neville and Thuram done. I just think Cafu done it slightly better. You know, his pace, his acceleration. I mean, the engine on the guy, like you just said, Port 38, and he was still bombing up and down that wing. I mean, Lillian Thuram and Gary Neville, they did lose a bit of pace and a bit of composure over the years. Cafu just seemed to get going. I don't know why he called it a day. You know, it was that good.
I think he's a lot more attack minded as well than those other two. Yeah, that you named.
Yeah,
like he was always looking to go forward. Like defensively, he might not have been as good as Thuram or Neville, but going forward, not those two that you named. I don't think he's as good as a defender. Like, yeah, as a defender, I think they might be slightly better. But who would I want in my team out of those three? Cafu.
Neville. I think the Gary Neville thing is he was a very good pro, you know, he's a super pro. And I think that got him 50% of where he got because he was such a good worker. And, you know, he was so hardworking. Technically, yeah. He would say himself, he wasn't a great player. So over the other two, that's, you know, they would get a pick as in a better technically. As Harper just said about defensively.
I don't think we need to take a vote on that. I think it's unanimous, isn't it? It's Cafu getting in our right back spot. Definitely. Do you agree with that, Lee? Yeah. Cafu?
Yeah.
Lovely. Yep. So, right, we'll go to our left back, and I'm going to start with this one. I did have Paolo Maldini, obviously, from the Champions League. I don't think that was a debate. Then, like I said, I wanted to steer away from my Champions League team. I did look at Ashley Cole for next best, and then I just remembered he was very late 90s. He was 99 going into 2000, and I just couldn't justify him playing that role as left back for a decade. So I went for Bayern Munich and France defender, big centre, Lazaru. So, Paul, I'll come to you. Who's your left-back, mate?
Maldini.
Roberto Carlos.
Okay. Well, we've got a mixture then. Lovely. Lee, Roberto Carlos, why have you opted for him over Paolo Maldini?
Well, like I said previous, I kind of wanted to pick an 11 that I enjoyed watching. And same reason for Cafu, up and down the right. Roberto Carlos was exactly the same and very attack-minded. Also, great at free kicks. He could defend as well, in my opinion. You said Lizarazu. I did think about him, and he was in a very good French side, but
yeah.
I didn't really see him much club football. Roberto Carlos, for me, he was brilliant. Like you mentioned Ashley Cole, another good choice, but like I said, I've picked who I enjoyed watching. So I used to love watching Roberto Carlos. So that's why he's my left back.
I'll ask a question, Lee. I agree with most of things you say, but in your heart of hearts, do you honestly, I know he was fantastic going forward in his free kicks. Do you honestly believe that he was a good defender? as in tackling, interceptions, and going forward, bringing the ball forward?
Well, I don't think he's. I don't. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I do. Fair enough. Obviously, same as Cafu. Like, they are more attack, like more attacking than defensive. Mm. But yeah, they could still defend.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think Carlos was. He wasn't particularly astute person positionally. He was often caught offside in defences. He was riskier than Maldini. Because he knew his pace would bail him out. So he knew he had the pace to get back, but he was constantly off playing players onside. This one goes down to, it depends as what you want, whether you want an attacking left back. You know, when they play for Brazil, Cafu on the right, Carlos on the left, you know, that, as you said, Lee, quite rightly, I suppose, it was a very attack-minded fullbacks. They were wing-backs before wing-backs were really that massively in favour. So defensively, there's no argument. Maldini's the far better defender by a country mile. Attacking-wise, Roberto Carlos the better attacker by a country mile. So this comes down to what you're looking for in your left-back, whether you want... You know, if we're going 90s, I think the style of play in the 90s was more favourable to Maldini. I mean, you're going noughties, and we went into noughties, like the Ashley Coles and the Patrick Everers and players like that. I think then you could have more of an argument for Roberto Carlos in that mould for me. So... Lizarazu is a good shout. Remember at Bayern Munich, fantastic player. Again, didn't see loads of him outside the Champions League performances. I'm just surprised you've changed from your Champions League team. I understand why you've done that. You want to steer away from that slightly, but we're building an 11. And I know Brazil had them both at fullbacks. I don't know if I'd have both at fullbacks. I'd probably have one who's a bit more defence-minded and one's a bit more attack-minded.
Yeah, you mentioned the Champions League point. I just wanted to see what different players I could pick from the 90s that were just as world-class, you know. I didn't want to go same, you know. So that's the reason why I've gone with that. So, and actually, I haven't really made a case for Lizarazu. To be fair, to cut long story short, I thought you, Paul, and Lee made great points. He was a great defender, wasn't he, to be fair. We didn't see a lot of him, really, World Cups, European Championships, and Bayern Munich on the television in the Champions League. I must admit, I did see a lot more of Roberto Carlos. He was more in your face, wasn't he? And Maldini, obviously, we all watched Football Italia on a weekly basis. So we was hemorrhaged, should I say, with him. So we all know what he's about. So, yeah, probably Lizarazu does come bottom three out of those. So I'll start with you, Lee. Who's your vote go for, mate, in our left-back position in the 90s World 11?
Maldini.
I'll go Carlos.
Yeah, like I say, with my Champions League side, I did have Maldini. It's hard to leave him out, but I'm going to go back to him. I'm going to have Paolo Maldini at left-back. Centre-backs, I don't know what formation you two have gone with. Paul, I'm going to start with you. Have you gone for a 4-4-2 or a 3-5-2 or what, mate?
I've gone 4-4-2, again, traditionally 90s. I'll give you both of them. It's going to be a bit
go on, then.
It might be a bit of a surprise for this one. I was going back and forth, and again, we had a lot of defenders in the Champions League one. And there's one player I didn't mention because he didn't play in the Champions League. So it might be a bit of a surprise. He probably won't get in, but for me, as a personal fantastic player, I've gone with Jaap Stam and I've gone with Paul McGrath.
Well, yeah, that is different, isn't it?
You've got Paul McGrath in it.
Say it again, Lee.
World 11, you've got Paul McGrath in.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Go on. Yeah, he'll give his argument in a minute. Go on then, Lee. Give us your two.
I've gone 4-4-2 as well. I've also picked Jaap Stam.
Damn, okay.
And I've gone for Sol Campbell.
Oh, okay. Lovely. There's a bit of a Premier League theme going on here. I've gone for a 3-5-2, and my only central defender is Costa Curta. So I'll start this time. I'll start with Costa Curta. I've gone for a 3-5-2 because I think when I've done my team, I'm trying to balance it out a bit. So I've gone for a bit of a defensive, then attacking, and very attacking. Costa Curta, where'd you start? Probably one of the most gifted defenders in world football, not just in the 90s, but ever. Costa Curta, his first touch, sublime, world class. He played as a sweeper as well. He's very versatile across the back. He was a great penalty taker. You think Costa Curta playing for Italy mainly. I just think all in all, if you had a Costa Curta ready and available, there's not many places you would say he can't get in. Any team, should I say?
Sol Campbell, I just think he was pretty. I think he's brilliant, if I'm honest. So fast, powerful. I think he made the right decision leaving Tottenham to go to Arsenal, where I think he became a much better player. Jaap Stam, well, he was a colossal. Like, pretty much, he was hard as nails, big, strong, won everything in the air. Going back to what you picked Costa Curta, I'm not saying he wasn't a great defender. He was a good defender, but I just always think he he was in like Maldini's shadow. Because Maldini was so good. Like, I don't really remember him that much. Like,
yeah, fair point, yeah.
So I can't take Paul McGrath seriously in this world 11.
Okay, hold on. So, you mentioned Sol Campbell. Oh, no, hold on. You mentioned Sol Campbell, but do you not think he came into his own when he went to Arsenal in 2001? That's when he became a truly world-class defender.
I just remember in the 1998 World Cup, I thought he was
best defender at the tournament. Agreed. But over the 90s, from 1990 to 1999, would you say he was one of the world's best defenders?
Yeah, I would.
So at Tottenham, you class him as one of the world's best defenders.
Lee mentioned the World Cup 98. Where was he playing at 98? Was it Spurs or Arsenal? I can't remember.
Joint Arsenal in 2001.
Okay. So Lee saying in 98, he classed him as one of the best in the world at Spurs. So
that's fair enough.
Yeah. No, I couldn't remember where he played. That was all. That's why I asked. Go on then, Paul. Give us your Paul McGrath argument then. Because that's a wild one, mate. I'm not disagreeing with you. I never saw that coming, to be honest, mate.
I'll go Jaap Stam. Voted the best defender.
Come on in, yeah.
Back-to-back Champions Leagues. Dutch Defender of the Year. Every team he went to, he made better. Lazio, Milan, Ajax, three of the biggest, you know, teams in the 90s, that period. Mm. Most decorated Man United in the late 90s, obviously, where he won the Champions League, Premier League three times, FA Cup, part of the treble-winning team. Moved him on far too early. I think if he stayed at United for another two or three or four years, I don't think we would have lost a league at all. Commanding, big, strong, powerful. Everything that Lee said about Sol Campbell, more or less, with Jaap Stam. But I think Jaap Stam is technically a better player. Paul McGrath, right, yeah. So I remember it was a 94 World Cup, Italy versus Ireland. Roberto Baggio up front for Italy. And Paul McGrath, just phenomenal in that game. Just absolutely unbelievable. At Man United, I think Ferguson very rarely got decisions wrong. If Paul McGrath wasn't drinking and it wasn't part of that drinking culture as he was, Paul McGrath would have gone on to be one of the best players to ever have worn the United shirt as centre-back or just as a player. His drinking was the thing when Ferguson came in, was to get rid of that culture, moved him on for Villa for £420,000 or £440,000 at the time, went on to have a good career at Villa, but not at the level that he should have been due to his injuries. You know, I think players have gone on to say that at United, like Steve Bruce was saying, you know, he was the best defender at the club. Dodged by injuries. Did he play enough? No. Went to Aston Villa, trained on a bike. And he won their player of the year four times in his career there. I think he's up there. Reading the game, without someone reading the game, I don't think there was anyone better. I think he was generally a tough and classy centre-half. He could read the game second to none. Ball at feet, as you guys like to say a lot. He would start attacks from defence, which wasn't seen as much in England at that time. That was a very European style. I think from a defender, I think he had everything. I think he was just, it's a shame about injuries and it's a shame, but he still had a good career, still played a lot of games. Didn't train for the last second half of his career, you know, but still made the team every week.
That's amazing. I've never, ever heard anyone big up Paul McGrath, even though you've got the same namesake. I've never heard anyone big him up as much as that. before I get on to Paul McGrath. Lee, what do you take out of that? Paul's comments about McGrath being very good ball at feet. I mean, just before I asked Lee, you mentioned about the drinking culture. We know Paul McGrath did have a massive problem with alcohol. Yeah, I do remember that. I remember him being very good at Aston Villa as well. I don't know if I put him in the world-class bracket, but go on, Lee. What's your response to Paul's comments about Paul McGrath?
I don't think he was that good of a player, really. I didn't really see much of him, so I can't really tell that Paul's wrong. But I don't think he's in the same category as the other players that we've mentioned. He's a donkey compared to them. He's a donkey compared to people like Jaap Stam, Sol Campbell. He's a cartel, Sol McGrath.
Technically, but
that's what he was like.
Technically better than both.
No, I disagree.
I have to agree with Lee there, Paul. I'm sorry. Not technically. He was a solid defender, don't get me wrong. But when you're talking about technical ability, I don't think he's above the...
He's like an old Sunday league footballer. Just a big centre-half. That was it.
It's a great argument. I love the way you've sold him, Paul. That's fantastic. It's just that I can't put, when we're talking world-class 90s, 11s, I just can't put him in there, mate, above the other defenders we've mentioned. So yeah, I've got nothing against the guy whatsoever. I think he's a great defender, but I do think he's just great. I don't think he's anything more, anything less.
Do you think he could have... Okay, if he stayed at United, do you think he would have gone on to be one of the best, as I stated earlier on?
But how old was he then, Paul? I can't remember his age, because he was an 80s player, wasn't he, going into the 90s? So I can't remember how old he was at Manchester United in the 90s. I mean, maybe you could tell me. But I don't know.
He left United at 30. So he was, he joined in 82. So I think he was about 26, 25, 16, 16. He was about 24, 25 when he joined from St. Patrick Athletic. And then he went on to make 163 appearances at United in a bad United team in that period as well, may I add. And obviously when Ferguson came in, he changed the things around. But maybe, yeah. Look, I've gone for someone I knew would be a bit more left field. And I wasn't trying to create anything, but I was trying to think of people that I remember, and I think reputation and watching him, as I said, in the Ireland game, against Italy, and that's one of my first memories, my dad watching that, having an Irish background, and he just stuck with me as one of the players, and obviously then he played for United at the time, and yeah, so for me, is he better than Campbell? Maybe, maybe not. Is he better than Stam? No, I probably wouldn't say that, but Campbell, yeah, great defender. But I wouldn't have said he was necessarily world class in that period. I think in the 2000s you could put him in that category. I would say Adams was a more worthy pick in that period in the 90s than I would have said Sol Campbell myself.
Yeah, I agree. I it's a good shout. Don't get me wrong. I would think Paul McGrath would have been more of a player for our underrated of the 90s. I don't think I could justify putting him in the world class bracket. But anyway, we're going to our vote. So go on then, Paul. We'll start with you. We're going to go with the 4-4-2 theme because you and Lee are picked 4-4-2. So you're two defenders, mate. What are you going for?
We'll have Stam, obviously. And then who did you have, Graham? Yeah. Sorry, I can't remember who you said.
Costa-Curta. So you've got either Costa-Curta or Campbell, haven't you?
It's a tough one. But I think, again, we're in the Champions League, I have to go Costa-Curta.
Okay. Well, I'll let you have Stam because you and Lee have both picked him. So it's sort of unanimous. So I'll let you have that. So you've gone Stam, Costa-Curta. What about you, Lee?
Well, can I pick Stam for Paul's?
Yeah, same, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you both got him. That's fair enough.
Well, I can't pick McGrath, that's for sure. So I'll have to be Costa-Curta.
Costa-Curta. So it looks like it's going to be Stam and Costa-Curta because I'm going Stam and Sol Campbell. Like I said, I can't justify Paul McGrath being in the world-class bracket. So Costa-Curta and Sol Campbell make the team.
Stam,
sorry. Yeah, sorry, Paul. Stam, I'm writing all sorts of things here. So let's start with our team so far. So we've got Peter Schmeichel in goal. We've got Cafu at right back, Maldini at left back, obviously. And our two centre-backs are Costa-Curta and Yap Stam. We'll start on the right wing this time. We'll start with Lee. Who's your right midfielder, mate?
I've gone for Luis Figo.
I've gone for Beckham.
David Beckham. There's a shock. And I've gone for, it wasn't out and out winger, but he's very versatile. I've gone for Fiorentina's Rui Costa. So this time, we'll stop with you, Paul. I remember you picked Beckham, well, you opted for Beckham in the Champions League. You're sticking with him. Same reasons last time, mate?
Well, I picked Figo in the...
Yeah, no, I meant you did pick Figo. Sorry, I rephrased that, but you opted for Beckham in the vote.
I voted for Beckham, absolutely right. Yeah. And I put Beckham in again because I've gone back and I've looked at the career... You know, I think Figo, if you're going to look at World 11, I think Figo does edge it, personally. But I did think, Lee, or you would go Figo, so I've kind of opted to Beckham because I still think Beckham is one of the best right midfielders the country has seen. Not the world. I don't think he's the world. You know, if you look at other class players that play on the right of midfield. But I do think his reputation in Europe is very high. I think when you speak to, look at players speaking and what he's achieved, I think he's he's more enjoyed in Europe, I think, than we do in the UK as rating him as a right winger. And a lot of the time he was, you know, just a 1 foot pony, had a right foot and just whipped it into the box, but he'd done so much more. And as you mentioned about the engine he had, you know, he could play centre mid, you know, against Real Madrid in the Champions League game where he dribbled past two players and put it into the top bins.
Yeah.
I think, and he played for some top teams. You know, he went from Man United to Real Madrid, was a massive success at Real Madrid. then went on to AC Milan, was a massive success at AC Milan, finished his career at PSG after a loan period back from the MLS. He's well revered at PSG, you know, for just a limited time he was there, but he's loved by the fans. I think that says something about your personality, not just about the skill on the pitch. So, yeah, for me, Beckham, yeah, one of the all-time greats on the right side of midfield for me.
Okay. Lee, Luis Figo in the 90s compared to David Beckham in the 90s. I know Paul strayed a bit to PSG, etc. But guess your arguments between Figo and Beckham. I know we spoke about this in the Champions League episode, and I'll get into my point in a bit. But why would you say Figo? Should I rephrase it? Would you say Figo was the better player on the right side of the midfield than Beckham in the 1990s, mate?
Well, it's all about balance, isn't it? It's like, what do you want from your team? Do you want someone who's gonna go out to like fullbacks, beat a man, score lots of goals? Then you pick Figo. But Beckham, he's solid. Like, this, don't get me wrong, but he had a great delivery. But technically, I don't think he's ever beat a man in his life. Like,
good point, yeah.
His pace is always, he's never been quick.
When you say never beat a man, do you mean on the right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. In the centre, he could beat a man, but on the right, I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's not, for me, like, that's what I'm saying. It's what you want. Yes, he was up and down. Like, Figo might not track back as much as Beckham. He's more of a luxury player, but that's what I'm trying to say. It's what kind of balance. So, obviously, watching in the 90s, like, that's what I picked my team on, is players that I enjoyed watching. Beckham was just like a 7 out of 10 every week, in my opinion. He weren't a 10 out of 10. So,
how weird that you both got completely different views and they both players played on the same position. I agree with both of what you've both just said. And they play on the same wing in the 90s, but they've both done a completely different job. Like Lee's just saying, he's an attack minded, maybe lazy at going back, but he was an assist machine sort of thing. Beckham was completely opposite. He didn't really beat a man, but his distribution was good. How the hell do you pick between them two? That's without even throwing mine in there. That's a good argument.
Rui Costa in.
I'll pick Rui Costa, yeah.
You know, and if you want an attacking right winger, he could dribble, shoot, pass.
Rui Costa was an assist machine for Fiorentina. Yeah. You had Batistuta, Edmundo, and what's the Belgian, Lee? I forget his name.
Oliveira
up top, yeah. So he was very versatile. I put Rui Costa on because I remember him being on the wing, but doing a bit of digging, he did play across the whole midfield. Apparently, he was more of an attacking midfielder. I personally don't remember him there, but yeah, I do remember him being an assist machine. 10,
in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, you're probably right, Lee. But yeah. I remember him as a winger, so I struggled a little bit, and I didn't want to go into my Champions League team, so I did stick Rui Costa on the wing. But yeah, I think you're right. He was more of a number 10.
Fantastic. Great brain on him, football brain, in terms of drift around the pitch to make things happen. He wasn't a player that waited the game to go past him. He got the ball, he made things happen.
Agree, yeah.
You know, so I in the middle, fantastic player. But on the right, again, I think he's he's more central. He could play on the right and did play on the right. But if you think Rui Costa in terms of playmaker, that's where I would see him as a playmaker more than a right winger.
So if we're looking at our team for... as a right midfielder, I think we're going to go with the consensus of Beckham and Figo. Are we looking for someone to be an assist machine and get up and down the wing? Are we going to look for someone that's just throwing the ball into the box, but their engine covers most of the midfield to help out? It's a hard one. Try and convince me.
Beckham was an assist machine. How many assists?
No, I didn't say Beckham. I meant more of Figo. What I said about an engine, I meant David Beckham on the right side of midfield. He wouldn't just stop there, whereas Figo would. Beckham was quite happy to go to the back, win the ball back. It would go into the centre mid and he would go into the middle. It was more, his engine was better, but Figo was better going forward. That's what I'm saying. Try and convince me of which one to pick. I'm stuck now. I really am, because you've both got such good arguments.
There are two good cases, but like I said, I'll pick my team who, look, don't get me wrong, if I was wanting to like watch a game of football, Beckham doesn't excite me. Figo excites me.
Yeah,
I think you go from the balance of the team. If we're going to do it as a team, I think the best way to pick it as look at the team, you've got Cafu at right back who's bombing up the wing.
Well, we've got Maldini and Stam at the back, so they're pretty solid there. So I'd rather have a flair player.
Okay, I think you're going to get caught out on the right side of midfield. If you've got Cafu bombing up and then you've got Figo bombing up, not coming back, you're going to be exposed on your right-hand side. Beckham would allow Cafu to overlap him to get balls into the box for me. But it comes down to Graham Harper. We've done our bit. It's down to Graham.
Definitely. Right, so we'll go for the vote now then, because we can speak about this all day. So, Lee, who are you picking, mate?
Beckham. I would have picked Rui Costa if it had been centre midfield.
As his right winger,
as his right winger, I would have to pick Beckham.
Figo. Cold?
Figo. Cold one for Figo. Right. So it is down to me. This is very difficult. Now, I'm not going to contradict myself. Like in the Champions League episode, Paul, you mentioned Figo in the Champions League episode, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I did say I don't remember him in the 90s. I do remember him more in the noughties. That's why I stuck with Beckham. And I'm not going to backtrack because I make myself look like a bit of a tit, really. And I'm going to have to edge with David Beckham purely on memory. I would say Figo was probably the better player going forward, but David Beckham's engine and his pinpoint crossing, he was just as good. But I did see more of him and he was just as effective. So I'm going to pick David Beckham for right mid.
Called Dave Holland, he'd be fucking having views on this show.
Right, left midfield. I'm going to start this time. I'm going on the left mid. It might surprise you, I'm not going for Marco Overmars. I'm going for Lazio's Pavel Nedved. Lee?
I've actually gone for Marco Overmars.
Okay.
Wow. Cole? I've gone Rivaldo.
On the left?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay, but why have you chose Rivaldo on the left?
Dominic Bastoni played on the left of midfield. For his, the most successful period of his career, he was on the left side. And for Brazil, from memory, he played on the left, cutting inside.
Okay, I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't remember him playing at wide out. It's Leonardo for me, what I remember, but I'm not saying you're wrong. Lee, Overmars, why have you gone for another Premier League in Ajax, mate?
Yeah, again, you just... Someone that who excites, I enjoy watching him play. Like Figo,
yeah.
Mate, Overmars, he was so fast as well when he came on the scene. Like, and he could beat a player, like, if that makes sense. He'd just leave him for dust, like dust. Just so, yeah, that, like I said, I've gone for, like, I'll pick my team who I would enjoy watching. And Mark Overmars, especially with that pace. Paul picked Rivaldo. I do say he did play out wide left, if I'm honest, but I would say he's more of an attacker, more of a striker, really, than a left winger. So, as for Nedved, didn't really see much of him. So, but don't get me wrong, world class player, but yeah, that's why. I think Overmars is the best out of those three.
I'm quite surprised you said you didn't see much of him, Nedved, because as an avid viewer of football Italian, Lee, I thought you might have said, well, yeah, I was used to watch him quite often playing on the telly. I thought, not that I'm telling you to pick my choice, I thought you'd have been, because you did pick Nedved for, well, he was mentioned in your Champions League side, but then you opted out of Nedved because he didn't play much in the Champions League for Lazio in the 90s. He went more for the noughties, but... Now, I'm quite surprised that you haven't seen much of him.
Well, yeah, well, because I just mainly remember him at Juventus.
Okay.
I was going to say exactly the same thing, Lee. I think, again, I would have gone more 2000s as a player. It was his better career. He won the Ballon d'Or in 2003, I think it was. He won Champions League Player of the Season for two seasons in a row, 2003, maybe 2004. I would have definitely, with Lee, I agree. I would have said he's more of a great at Lazio, but world-class when he went to Juventus. That move was what ticked him over to be a world-class left side of midfield. If this is the 2000s, I think he goes in the left with not relatively ease, but I think it would have been difficult to displace him on the left.
Yeah, I great points as usual. I can't disagree with any of that. I just think he was even at Lazio. I mean, obviously, as you all know, well, most of us we used to watch football Italia. He was a regular for Lazio. It wasn't just a left winger. That was mainly his position, but he's very versatile as well. I mean, his pinpoint cross. We talk about Beckham's crossing. I think Nedved's crossing goes under the radar a lot. Like Paul said, if you haven't seen enough of him, it's hard to comment.
2 foot as well, 2 feet. Yeah, two fantastic feet.
Is it? You know, Overmars was the same, as Lee mentioned. I forgot to mention that in the the other episodes, which I forgot about. Playing with both feet. I literally forgot about that. But like you've just mentioned, Paul, Nedved was good with both feet. He was free, kicks in his penalties. Everything was just pinpoint accuracy. He had pace. I mean, we talk about Overmars pace, to not overlook Nedved's pace. He was another one that could give somebody a clean, you know, clean set of heels. Another one used to cut in, top bins. To be fair, because I did pick Overmars, like I've said many of the times, I'm getting boring now. I've looked away from my Champions League side, and Nedved was the first one that comes to my head. I don't think there's many better. But like you said, Paul, I agree. He did get better in the noughties, so I can understand why you think he was more of a noughties player. But yeah, we made some good choices there.
Well, Rivaldo, so, I was just going to sell Rivaldo.
Go on,
one of Brazil and Barcelona's greatest ever players. 99 World Cup player of the year. Ballon d'Or winner. Voted Copa America player of the tournament at the same year. 1999, you know, was a fantastic year for Rivaldo. Champions League, when watching him, just truly, you know, I mean, we were linked with him twice and we just couldn't, we never actually signed him. What a joy. Lisa had players enjoying to watch. I remember watching him in the internet cafe, finding clips of him, which was quite rare back then, you know, starting off the clips. I think if you say to me that, you know, that Brazilian team as well, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, very, very, very good players. So for me, Rivaldo on the left, naturally, and when you've got Maldini behind you, you're thinking, right, well, go and do what you want. Just go and go cut inside because no one's getting past Maldini at left back. So for balance of the team, for me, Rivaldo all day long.
Okay. All right, lovely. Well, I'm going to start this one off. I'm not going to go Rivaldo, and there's a couple of reasons why. You'll reveal why I haven't gone for him in a bit. But also, going from memory, Paul, I can't disagree with anything you're saying. I just don't remember him out wide on the left. I always remember Rivaldo coming through the middle, and that's the only reason why I wouldn't pick him on the left. I'd pick him in a team, don't get me wrong, without a shadow of a doubt. I just don't remember him on the left. Obviously, we're not doing our own, so forget Nedved. So for me, it's going to be Mark Overmars. I've picked him in the past. I love Mark Overmars, huge fan. Very similar to Nedved. Hard to split them. Great with both feet, as we've said. Not your typical winger. Quite good at going inside, pulling people away, making passes, making moves, finishing moves. Especially, we talk about Overmars at Arsenal all the time, obviously, because that's when we've seen him most. When you look back at him playing for Ajax, in that famous Van Gaal side, he was fantastic. He does go under the radar at Ajax, even though he had his hands on the European trophy. Overmars, I'm going to go for him. Lee Arthur, what do you choose, mate?
I will go for Nedved.
I'm going to go for Overmars, purely because I think Nedved was more of a 2000s player. And I think, do you know what? Overmars is loved by this group. They have a big enjoyment for him. And I think maybe I missed something. And maybe he was that good. And I didn't appreciate him because, as a United fan, I couldn't enjoy. Although he terrorised United's defence, I wouldn't be averse to it. Yeah, so although I said I can't be having Overmars in it, I think if there was five of us here today, I don't think I would have voted Overmars.
Lovely. So Overmars is locked in. So come back to you, Paul. We're going to do our centre mids now. You've done 4-4-2. So you give me your two centre mids, mate.
Struggled. I've changed this about 20 times. Really hard. Really, really hard. I've gone low for Mateus and Roy Keane.
Okay. Lee?
I've gone for Zinedine Zidane and Roy Keane.
So I went for a 3-5-2, but now we're going for 4-4-2. I might revert one of my midfielders back. So it's more of a diamond. So I've gone for, same as you, Paul, Lothar Matthäus, and I've gone for George Hagi. Zidane and Keane. I'm surprised you've gone for Keane. I know you've bigged him up in the past, but I didn't think you'd go for him in the World 11. What's all that about, mate?
Well, I enjoyed watching him. I just thought, I think he was a brilliant captain. There's a bit of balance. So obviously I've gone for Zidane. So I kind of felt like I needed an attacking midfielder and a defensive midfielder. Even though you lot said that Roy Keane really wasn't a defensive midfielder, I kind of see him as a defensive midfielder, really. Just so, yeah, they're both brilliant players. So I think they would, in the same team, they would complement each other massively. So that's the reason why I've gone for those two.
I agree. I think when you said we didn't say he was a defensive midfielder, I think we're talking about more in the 90s before he had his major injury, because he was a completely different player after his injury. You know, he was, like Miller said, he was a good third man. Wasn't an assist machine like David Holland in the past has exaggerated, but it was better going forward before his injury than going into the 2000s. He did become a defensive midfielder. But, you know, obviously I'm biased when it comes to Roy Keane. That's a great shout. Paul, you've gone for Mateus. Same as me. What's your thinking behind that? Because he came to my mind straight away, mate.
Yeah, me too. Love Mateus. Love watching him. Legend of the game. Smashed, you know, for Germany, he was a rock.
He played for five World Cups.
Yeah, he's a legend. Look, you know, I when I coached and when I watched football, I've always enjoyed the defensive side of it. It's not heralded anymore. You know, when Jose Mourinho's negative tactics in the 2000s and, you know, maybe being influenced by watching Italia 90. What couldn't he do? In terms of it's absolutely everything. You know, I know in the Champions League team, we had Marcel Desailly was one of the other players, and players were mentioned, and Deschamps. I think Lothar Matthäus is better than all of them, personally.
Yeah, I do. I agree.
So for me, I went with him. And Lee's picked Zidane. And Zidane, again, I've had seven players in the central midfield and I kept chopping and changing. My midfield is the least balanced. I think what Harper said is absolutely right. Zidane and Keane, Jesus Christ, you know. What a midfield that would have been at any stage in the career together. I couldn't leave Keane out. So Keane was a constant in the team. It was just who I was going to put next to him. And I thought, no, I'm going to stick Mateus in. I think there's enough flair in the team to have two of those midfielders. And at that time, Keane was a box-to-box midfielder still. Could get forward, could get back. Lothar Mateus could do a job and would do a good enough job of it. So that's why I've gone with Mateus. With Zidane, I know in the Champions League one, we all kind of, or I kind of said I saw him as more of a 2000s player, and I think you said the same, Graham. But then after the Champions League episode, I went back and looked at some of his career information. And do you know what? I think he won the 1999, I think he was voted one of the world's best players then. And I looked back and thought, actually, it was his performances for Juventus in these back 2 to 3 years in that period that he went on to Real Madrid to get even better. So I think Zidane's a great shout as well. I can't leave any of them out. I think all three are, you know, fantastic. Hadji, I'm not so sure on for me, but what's your reasoning for picking Hadji?
Before we go on to Hadji, I will ask you in a minute, Paul. The thing with Zidane, as you said, you weren't too sure in the Champions League episode. I'm 100% with you, Paul, because I, like you said about Nedved and I've said about Figo, I remember Zinedine Zidane being shit hot in the 2000s. It's the 90s memories for me for Zidane that doesn't ring a bell. Lee, you've picked Zidane. What? Why would you put him in the 90s instead of the noughties? You might put him in the noughties, but why would you put him in the 90s? Is it because of what Paul's saying about him being player of the year, or do you just remember him being that good at the back end of, yeah, of that decade?
Look at France 98. That's why I picked Sol Campbell, because I think he had a great World Cup. But yeah, Zidane, he had it all. He just had that, like, no one could get the ball off him. You know what I mean? He was strong. When I watched him, I just enjoyed watching him. Like, he was so clever. That's why I've gone for him. And I know, like you say, he went into the noughties, but look, he also, like I said, he was brilliant in the Cup final, World Cup final. He had a brilliant tournament. It was more late 90s, but yeah, again, this team is from 1990 to 1999. So, even if he played 1 year in the 90s, he was that good, he would still get in my team.
I'm gonna back Lee up. Sorry, Graham, I'm going to back Lee up here. He actually won more in his career in the 90s than he did in the noughties. He won two Serie A's, Coppa Italia, two runners-up in the Champions League, which was not a winning, but... Super Cup, International Cup, UEFA Cup, Intertoto Cup with Bordeaux. He won the Ballon d'Or in 98, for God's sake. You know, as I said in the Champions League one, I was with you on the more noughties. When I've actually gone back and looked at it, it was the 90s where he really excelled. In the noughties, I think he's more known because it was the Galactico period in Madrid, which we covered.
I agree, yeah.
And I think actually the prestige of playing in that Galactico era made it seem more of an important player than he actually was in that era, in the 90s. If I can go back to the Champions League episode again now, Zidane gets in it for me.
Great point, sir. I didn't know any of that, to be honest. like I say, from memory, like you summed it up there, you think of Galacticos, didn't you? Going on from the 2000s into the late 2010s, and that's when you think into Zidane. Yeah, good stats there, Paul. Didn't know anything about that. So I'm going to keep it brief. I'm going to waffle on. You just asked me about Hadji. Now, Hadji's a very personal choice for me. USA 94 was my first World Cup that I watched as much as I could before we started secondary school. George Hadji, I never heard of him, to be honest. I remember watching that Romania side, which I've not so much waxed lyrical, but I've mentioned a few times before. He scored a goal against Colombia that players aren't scoring. He had it out on the wide on the left. Now, the first thing you would do would have pass it into the middle, put it down the wing, played it through the box, played it into the 6-yard box. He's seen the goalkeeper off the line and put it in top bins. And at that time, watching that, my old man, I looked up thinking, who the fucking hell is this? That's fantastic. That's amazing. And I made sure I watched every Romania game until they went out to Sweden to watch that guy. Now, since he was at school, obviously no access to watch him. World Soccer Magazine, Shoot Match. I've tried to follow the guy's career as much as I can. Obviously, going into the noughties, you get YouTube, so you can look back on the guy's career. Ill-disciplined, bad attitude, lazy. That's George Hadji. But as you say, Paul, you sometimes on here and WhatsApp, you mimic ball at feet, technical ability. And during that 90s period, I haven't seen many people that better. His control, his vision, his accuracy. We spoke to Robbie Marsh, though, and he's talking about Paul Gascoigne, how he can make things out of nothing. George Hadji could do that on a sixpence. The only reason I think people would knock Hadji is because they haven't seen enough of him. And the reason I've picked him is because I've gone into the archives and made an effort to watch probably one of my heroes of 90s world football. He did it in bits and pieces at Barcelona, same for Real Madrid. He's more successful at Galatasaray, but he played at the top level in La Liga. All right, you may laugh at the Turkish League, but he was a regular in the Champions League. And he's, you know, for Romania, I mean, any side that's got George Hadji in it, you're thinking, well, we've got to mark him out of the game to stand a chance. And that proved in 98 with England. I mean, you laugh when I spoke about him, that England weren't as good as them. He created the first goal and he was a menace. And he's been a menace throughout his career. There's not a lot more I could say about him. He was compared to Maradona because of the way he looked, the way he glided past the player. It's unfortunate that he had not so much a short career, but a sort of ill-disciplined career. It was slightly like Letizia to an extent, but better. When I mean like Letizia, very lazy. Letizia couldn't tackle, but Hadji didn't bother. So, but I had to put him in. I just had to. I couldn't leave him out, even though if he doesn't get picked. I love the guy. I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life in that period. When you're talking about a world 11 from maybe the 50s up until present day, he probably doesn't get in. I get that. But I just had to put him in, boys. So that's my go for George Hadji. But I don't know what you guys think of him, Lee. What do you say about George Hadji? I mean, you were quite clued up on the 90s football. Would you agree with what I said? Or do you think I'm talking like bollocks, mate?
No, Hadji was a good player, but he was a great player. But I can't look past Keane and Zidane, really. I did think about Paul Gascoigne, but... Yeah, again, injuries, longevity of his career, he doesn't make it. So, yeah, Hadji, he was good, but I didn't really watch him that much either. So I've seen him in the World Cups and stuff like that.
World Cups, yeah, it's fair enough.
That's it, really. So,
okay, we've made our points on our 2 centre-mids. I'm going to start with you then, Paul. We're going to lock these 2 centre-mids in. Who have you gone for, mate?
Well, it's going to be, for me, Keane and Zidane.
Well, we did overrule Mateus, and you're going away from Mateus?
Yeah, I've heard that. Keane and Zidane.
So, Paul's gone for Zidane and Keane. Lee?
I will go for Keane and Mateus.
Mateus. Okay, and I've gone the same as you, Lee. I've gone for Keane and Mateus. That's a very solid centre midfielder. How many goals is that back line and that defence? Especially look at the middle. You've got Keane, Mateus, Costa, Kurt, and Stam. How many goals is that conceding?
Six in a season.
Not many, is it? Yeah, exactly. So you've got Cafu and Maldini supplying Beckham and Overmars. We haven't got to our strikers yet, so which we'll get to now. So Lee, who have you gone for two up top, mate?
I've gone for R9, Ronaldo,
Mm-hmm.
And Big Alan Shearer.
Big Al. Paul?
Brazilian Ronaldo and Big Al.
Okay. Well, you've got two, you've got the same. Okay. Because I changed my formation as we've gone along, because I originally had 3-5-2 and I did pick Rivaldo, Paul. I had Hadji and Rivaldo supplying R9. That was my reasoning for it. So I'll have to take Rivaldo out. And I've got obviously R9 up top. We've spoke about Cristiano Ronaldo and R9. Do we need to go over R9? I mean, there's no one better, is there? In the 1990s period. I'll ask you, Paul. We've done this on the podcast before. Name me a better striker in the 1990s than the Brazilian Ronaldo.
Well, you can't really.
That's my point.
You know, Ronaldo was the first name on as the striker. Obviously, I'm a massive Del Piero fan, massive Batistuta fan. It was between those two. And I will be honest, for those, I changed it to Shearer about 5 o'clock this afternoon. Okay. I think when you go back with Shearer, didn't play enough in Europe. If he did, I think he would have been, I think when you talk with the top four or five strikers in European football, I know we're doing world football, but let's just look at European for a moment. I don't know if Shearer were getting many non-British people's front two. Whereas I think Batistuta were getting English players top 11 and foreign players top 11.
Okay. Before I move on to Lee, I've got issue with that. Are you talking about the mid-90s when he was at Blackburn Rovers and went on to Newcastle? Are you saying he wouldn't have got into a top European side?
No. You'll be misunderstood. Not going to talk to you inside. Fans wouldn't vote for him to be in an ultimate 11.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
If we was Italian now and we're saying name world 11, Shearer's name, in my opinion, in the 90s doesn't get into anyone. But 5, 10, 15 Italians, I don't think Shearer gets into anyone's top 11. Top two strikers. I think you ask British people like ourselves. I think Shearer gets in. I think Batistuta can get a shout. Del Piero can get a shout. That's why I thought, you know what? I think Shearer...
I get that. I misunderstood you. Do you think, Lee, you jump in this as well. That's a good point, Paul. You've got to make a good point there. Do you think it's the same with maybe English people not voting in George Weah at the same period? Because during the mid-90s, going into the late-90s, George Weah was the best thing since sliced bread. And now, when you think of George Weah playing in the English Premier League, people straight away think of his shit years at Chelsea and Manchester City. They don't look at the George Weah of the AC Milan, the Ballon d'Or winner. What do you think, Lee, about Paul's comment on voting into World 11s in the 90s?
Paul's right. I do. I think it's like they stick to their own kind of thing.
Hmm.
I think that's the culture of like... I do believe that Shearer wouldn't get in many teams of maybe foreign people's teams. I do believe that, but over here he gets in pretty much everyone's 11 in England. There's no two ways about it. He was just a phenomenal striker. Like he was, yeah, he's class. So
he had the lot, didn't he?
Yeah. Big power.
What you're looking for as a striker, not a player or a playmaker or an assist machine, as a striker, to put that ball, we spoke about before, we've joked in the past, you was quite a big fan of Blackburn when you were a kid, but the ball's coming through from Ripley and Wilcox in towards Alan Shearer and Chris Sutton. No, it was his bread and butter, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And putting that ball in the back of the net.
Yep. You get it every week in, week out, right? He was just a handful. He's hold up play. He bring people in. Like we had this discussion, but Paul, I think Paul mentioned it. Like technically, Henri better footballer.
Well, Del Piero or Batistuta, you could use in this equation. You would say better footballers, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, Del Piero, I would say yes. Batistuta, not so much. I think Batistuta and Shearer are pretty similar styles, in my opinion.
Mm.
But yeah, who did you pick, Dave? You've only gone for one striker. You only picked Ronaldo.
Yeah, because I had five across the midfield, and my thought was Hadji and Rivaldo throwing balls in towards R9. But we can put him to a side because it's a no-brainer with him.
Just going to jump in. I'm surprised again, Dave, you didn't pick Shearer into the team.
No, only because of the formation, mate. I went for a formation of Samer holding the mid. Mateus holding the midfield. putting the ball through the middle for Hadji and Rivaldo.
As one of your favourite players of all time.
In the Premier League.
So Shearer's not the favourite of all time. He's just in the Premier League, he's your favourite.
Yeah, no, he's not my top five, mate. In the Premier League, yeah.
Wow.
I've never said he was one of my all time. No, he's not one. He doesn't come before Hadji, Litmanen, for me, no.
That's a shock. That surprised me. Lee, what do you reckon? Has that surprised you?
Well, yeah, I think Shearer's much better than those two players you just named there. Lippmann and Hadji.
Don't take it out of context. I haven't said they're the best in the world. I said my personal favourites. But Shearer doesn't make my David Graham's top five. He doesn't make mine.
Okay,
my personal favourites.
Forget your favourites. We're not talking about favourites. We're talking about the best world 11.
I can't.
Would Shearer not get
my best world 11?
If your best world, if you had to pick 11 players, someone said, right, you can pick any 11 players. It's a 4-4-2. Who you pick up top? Are you saying Shearer doesn't get in that?
No, not before Batistuta for me, no. It would be run R9 and Batistuta. I've never poo-pooed out. You know I have never poo-pooed out. I don't think you could pick anybody either R9 during the 90s in world football. So he has to be in my opinion. Who the hell do you pick above him? We've got to do our second striker. So I think that's unanimous. It's going to be Shearer, I think.
Ronaldo and Shearer, I think we can all agree.
Ronaldo and Shearer, yeah. Okay, so our final 11 for the 90s. This is a great side, by the way. We've got Peter Schmeichel in goal. We've got Cafu at right back. Paolo Maldini on the left. We've got Costa Curto and Yap Stam, two centre-backs. Beckham on the right, Overmars on the left. And our two centre-mids are Roy Keane and Lothar Matthäus. And up top, we've got Alan Shearer. And there's no other better than the R9, Brazilian Ronaldo. Quiz time. Right. I'm turning my weekly quiz into a mini league. There'll be the same amount of questions for each person each week, depending on who turns up, basically. So questions are 90s based and before. All answers to these questions are correct at the time of print, because I'm using a quiz book, by the way. So here are the rules, guys. The rules are simple. It's 3 points for a correct answer. There's 2 points for a correct answer with multiple choice and 1 point for a correct steal. There will be no games in hand, so just grab as many points as you can. So the winner of this at the end of the year, hopefully with the Phoenix Five is still going by Christmas, will win an engraved trophy and some premium bonds. You may laugh, but I'm trying to keep the 90s theme. So that was basically the prize that would have been in the 1990s. So we're going to start this league off today. David Holland and Alan Miller haven't turned up, but that's their hard luck. They've got to make the points up when they do turn up. So we've got Lee Harper and Paul McGrath. So I've got 16 questions here, so 8 each. Who wants to start? Let's see how we get on.
Go on, Paul can go first.
I'll go.
Okay. Right, okay, Paul. Question number one. I'll read it to you first, and you can either decide if you want to answer it straight away or you want multiple choice, okay? Okay, so the first question is, who became the chief executive of the Premier League in 1997?
Multiple choice, go on.
Oh, okay.
You want multiple choice. Don't forget, Lee, if he gets it wrong, you can steal, okay?
I think he'll get it with the multiple choice. I reckon I could have got it. I wouldn't have taken the multiple choice.
Okay. But remember, if he gets it wrong, you can steal. So let's see how he gets on. Okay, Paul, here's your multiple choice answers. Graham Kelly, Peter Lever, or David Davis?
David Davis.
Incorrect. Do you want to steal, Lee?
What if I steal and do I lose anything if I get it wrong?
No, you get a point.
Yeah, all
you
right,
get a point for a steal.
Can you name them again, please?
Well, Paul's mentioned David Davis. That was wrong. So you've got Graham Kelly or Peter Lever.
I'm going to go for Graham Kelly.
Wrong.
Incorrect. It was Peter Lever.
Yeah.
I kept
no points.
You're thinking of FA. Same as I was. You're thinking of FA. FA chairman.
It's the English Premier League.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Question two. This is the Lee Harper. Right. Sean Teal went to which club after leaving Aston Villa? So do you want to answer it straight away or do you want multiple choice?
I'll answer it straight away.
Okay.
Wigan.
Incorrect. Paul, do you want to steal for a point?
Yeah. What was the clubs? Give me the clubs.
So you want multiple choice, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's Fulham, Birmingham, or Tranmere?
Fulham, Birmingham, and what club did he leave?
You need to look up because I don't trust you. Aston Villa.
Tranmere.
It's the correct answer. That's a point for Paul. Okay. Question number three. This is you, Paul. Which former Leeds United manager scored a goal for Brighton after only 15 seconds?
Multiple choice.
Okay. Howard Wilkinson. They are hard. I told you. Howard Wilkinson, Billy Bremner or Brian Clough?
Bremner.
Incorrect. Lee for the steal?
Clough.
No, it's Howard Wilkinson, mate.
Fuck's sake.
He's a tough man.
Right, question number four. They are tough. They're from a quiz book, but I'm not going to tell you what's quiz book. Right, question number four, Paul.
No,
which Manchester... Sorry?
Me, innit?
Is it you who had the third question?
Yeah, it's me. If Paul had the first one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my mistake. Right, question number four, Lee. Which Manchester United legend scored 49 goals in 106 appearances for England? Remember, these are up to 1999, so nothing after that.
Can I have multiple choice, please?
Yeah, you can.
Sake.
Bobby Charlton, Nobby Styles, or Duncan Edwards?
Charlton.
Bobby Charlton, well done. That's 2 points. Right, so question number five to Paul. During the 99-98 season, which Northern Ireland manager was sacked?
Multiple choice.
Sammy McElroy, Laurie McMenemy, or Brian Hamilton?
A, whatever that is. I don't know any of them.
Sammy McElroy, incorrect. Lee, do you want to steal?
Laurie McMenemy.
Incorrect. It was Brian Hamilton.
God's sake.
So, question number six to Lee. Where was the 1963 European Cup Winners' Cup final held?
Multiple choice, please.
London, Munich, or Rotterdam?
Munich.
Incorrect. Paul for the steal.
What was the options?
London, Munich, or Rotterdam?
Rotterdam.
Well done, Paul. That's the point. It was Rotterdam. So at the moment, it's 2-2.
1963, you just said there, yeah?
Yeah. European Cup Winners Cup final.
Fucking hell. I don't even think my dad was alive.
Well,
I just think they should be multiple choice because I don't think we're going to get any of these that are not multiple choice, personally.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Well, what do you want me to do then? I'm just trying to make a lead.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no, it's fine. Because I might know one.
Yeah, it's all guessing. When I done the last ones I've been doing on the piece of paper, you've all had to guess.
Go on, then.
Right, okay. Paul, question 7. Howard Wilkinson followed Billy Bremner as manager of which club?
Leeds.
You've gone Leeds straight away. Yeah, well done. 3 points. It was Leeds.
Well, that's fucking easy, that one. He's just fucking mentioned, like, the previous question said something about a goal. Two players.
To be fair, he wouldn't have known Billy Bremner. But he's got it anyway. Right, okay. Yeah, question number 8, Lee. In which decade was Danny Blanchflower born?
What the fuck?
Multiple choice or not?
Yes, please.
1920s, 1930s, or 1940s?
1940s.
Incorrect. Paul for the steal.
You know.
What was the question? What year? What was he born?
Danny Blanchflower.
What was he born? Options?
20s, 30s, or 40s?
20s.
Yes, it was. Well done for the steal. It was the 20s.
Fucking
Danny Blanchflower.
Yeah. Right, Paul.
You know, remind me not to look at this quiz book.
It's a football quiz book. Hey, oh, it's funny. I like this one.
Eggheads won't get any of these.
Which England cricketer played in a 1950 FA Cup final for
Ian
Arsenal?
Botham.
Who? Are you serious?
Botham. No, I'm joking. Got multiple choice.
Colin Cowdrey, Dennis Compton, or Jim Laker?
Say the names again.
Colin Cowdrey, Dennis Compton, or Jim Laker?
A. Colin Cowdrey.
No, incorrect. Lee, do you want to steal?
No doubt I'll get it wrong, but I'll go for B.
Yes, well done, Dennis Compton, yeah.
Hey!
Good point.
I tell you what, this league's going to just like, it'll be about three, it's going to like, it's the final standings. Lee, 4 points. Paul, 4 points. Dave Holland, 4 points. Adam, 4 points.
It's only page one, yeah. I think the book's got 465 pages.
You know.
Right, question 10. Who am I on now? It's Paul, isn't it?
No, it's me.
It's Lee.
Is it you? Right, okay. Yeah. Number 10. Name the only two countries in the 1998 World Cup to have 100% records in their group matches.
Oh, we done this.
There you go. That's more your scene.
Yeah, this is more my thing. Right, I'm going to go for multiple choice, please.
Okay. England and Spain, Brazil and France, or France and Argentina?
Brazil and France.
Incorrect.
France and Argentina.
Well done, yep. France and Argentina for the steal.
Fuck's sake.
Right, penalties. Paul.
I didn't know, I think we're going to have penalties.
Question 11. John Scales moved from Wimbledon to which club for £3.5 million in August 1994?
Can you give me from where, from Wimbledon?
John Scales moved from Wimbledon to which club? For £3.5 million in August 94.
Liverpool.
Wait, it was Liverpool. Well done. 3 points straight away. Right, question number 12. Lee, yep. Which club did Mike Phelan leave to join Manchester United?
So, which club did Mike Phelan leave?
Yeah, to join Manchester United.
As a player or coach, you need to clarify that.
It doesn't say. I'm guessing it's player.
Multiple
I'm guessing
choice.
It doesn't say.
I have multiple choice, please.
It's 19 up to 1999, so I'm guessing it's a player. You're multiple choice, okay. QPR, Norwich, or Grimsby?
Norwich.
Correct. Yeah, well done, Norwich. 2 points. Paul, Kevin Moran left Manchester United in 1988 for which club?
Multiple choice, please.
Sporting Gijon, Barcelona, or Real Betis?
Fucking hell. Sporting Gijan.
Well done, 2 points. It was Sporting Gijan.
Fuck's sake.
Lee, which defender was 18 years and 183 days old when he made his England debut?
So just, I got to name someone who...
Yeah, do you want it again?
Yeah, go on, say it again, please.
So which defender was 18 years and 183 days old when he made his England debut?
Micah Richards.
Incorrect.
In the 90s?
Doesn't yeah. say. Doesn't Duncan, say in the 90s.
Duncan Edwards.
Well done. Duncan Edwards.
Good guess, Paul.
I only know that because it's Man United based.
Right. Two questions left, Paul. Keith Weller played for which Cup Winners' Cup trophy winners?
Multiple choice.
Arsenal, Tottenham or Chelsea?
Arsenal.
Incorrect. Lee?
Tottenham.
Incorrect. It was Chelsea.
Fuck it off.
Last question, Lee.
Yeah.
Jeremy Goss played international football for which country?
Wales.
Yeah.
Well done. 3 points. That's the quiz over. So let's get the scores. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 12 to Paul. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And 8 to Lee. 12 points to Paul and 8 points to Lee.
Well played, Paul.
That was good. To be fair, that was lucky on the multiple choice one. It was just a 50-50 on it, wasn't it, most of it? What I'm going to do, Dave, is I'm going to release the episode and I'm going to do the quiz league separate because... when I'm editing the episode, when it goes past like an hour and something, it's difficult to kind of fit in. Whereas if I then do an episode on the Wednesday and on the Friday, I'll release the quiz each week. So it'll be a separate thing to add more content to release. So, because, you know, I've cut them out in the one because one that's gone wrong or whatever. And the episode's like an hour and a half, 2 hours. We recorded at 8 o'clock. It's now 7:30. It's now 9:15. So that's, and we're not, there's not a lot to cut. I think everything was really quite measured. So if I don't, instead of cutting it, what I'll do, I'll put it on the Friday because a few people I know like the quiz from before. If I do it as a separate thing, I can see what the viewership's like. And if it's good, we'll keep it like that. If it's okay, then I'll put it back into the episodes. But I think this way, people that like doing quizzes can listen in just for the quiz.
Okay. I'm doing one tomorrow as well, by the way, after Nigel Winterburn pisses off. I'm doing the next round because obviously it might be Dave or Miller as well. So I'm going to do every opportunity I get, I'm going to do a quiz.
Yeah, we'll get Winterburn in on it.
No, he's not in the league, is he?
Why not? He could be in the league. We'd ask him.
No. You're going to go a quick fire round with him, aren't you? What's the point of putting Nigel Winterburn in the
I'm
league?
Joking. Shut up.
Are you not? You're a serious man.
A serious man? Where you come from? let me end record. Hold on. That was good, that. Do you want to just end the show then, Dave? Oh, what's next?
Okay, yeah.
Are we going to do next? What are we going to do for next week's topic?
Is it Burger Cantona? Is that the latest one? I'm not bothered. You asked me to do this week. I've done this week, so I'll leave it to you lot.
Yeah, maybe just add it onto the quiz or something. I don't know. Or when you're editing, just we can think now. We can like try and do one. Well, I don't know. Think of one the next couple of days.
Before
you release it and just add it on or something, man, I think.
All right, yeah, sounds fine to me. Graham, do you want to just finish this one off?
Okay, then, yeah. All right, then. That was the first round of the quiz. We've got 485 pages left to go, I think. So hope you keep coming back. Lovely episode. Thanks a lot, guys. See you again next week. Don't know what the topic's going to be, but it's going to be another cracker. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.